universal language. Money as a universal language. I did have a second verse, but I don't even think it should even matter right now. Yeah, let's go. Money is universal language. Let me go into this. So let's talk about money. What is money in its truest form? Y'all know I like to give you a definition just to teach you, man. Money, what is money? Money is simply this. Money is any object. Money can be anything. Money is any object accepted as payment for goods and services and repayment of debts in a given country or society. That's important. Because what we find is what's money here in the United States may not be money somewhere else. Are y'all with me? You know, the U.S. dollar is usually accepted in most countries, but we don't accept Canadian dollars. So the country matters, and we're going to talk about that. I'm going to educate you a little bit, because I learned some things too. All right? So the country matters. The context in the money matters. Sex, if it's traded for goods, is a form of payment. We know that individuals who trade their bodies, not just for paper money, but for other things. For cars. Oh, come on, somebody. They live in boyfriend and shelter and all this. There is always a payment system going on. We don't always understand it because we have taken money and only looked at it in one form, and we only looked at it in that paper form or those coins. And I'm here to tell you today that money has four different forms. It has four different forms. Now, what we find with money, how money started, was that individuals like you and myself and others, we in our world became to a point that we specialized. There are things that Brother Alex can do that I don't do well. There are some things that I do that he doesn't do well. There are some things Brother Gabe do well that I don't do so well. But I might need what Brother Alex does. Brother Alex has a tremendous lawn care business. I can't always get to my grass, but my grass is an issue. I need to cut. What do I do? Then I ask him to cut, and then he tells me what form of payment he's willing to accept. He can say, well, give me X amount of paper dollars. He can say, you come fix the brakes on my car. Mm-hmm. Or he can say, feed me a meal. All these things are money. But we've relegated money only to being paper. So that form, when people ask for money, all people get all upset because they think you're talking about that paper part, when it's really only 25% of what's really out there. Are y'all with me? So any of these things are payment. Well, Brother Eli, how did we get to this point? I'm glad you asked. So what happens is there's specialization. It used to be a point in time that everybody tried to do everything for themselves. And in all our wisdom and the world system of doing things, we say, okay, I can't do that, but he's better at that than me. So if he'll do that for me and I do that for him, we both got what we want, right? I got what I want, he got what he want. Well, what happened was at some point in time, then they moved this on to cattle and all these other kind of domestic goods and things that we'll call commodities, okay? And I'll tell you what a commodity is. So now we get to this point, we start trading these kind of things. But then it gets to a point now, I don't want any more cows. I got 20. I don't need any more. I'm good on milk. So how do I continue to trade? Now, maybe you want one of my cows, but I don't want any more cows. So now if you don't have something that I want, what they do is almost this show we had a couple of years ago called Swap Kings. And what Swap Kings would do is the guy would start out with like a pencil or something arbitrary, and he would find somebody to swap what he called upgrade. So if he had a pencil, maybe he'd go find somebody who would swap this pencil for a gold pencil, okay? For whatever reason, now some in our heads, we'll look like, well, if you swap the gold pencil for a regular pencil, that's a downgrade only to you. Because you don't know what they needed the pencil for. Maybe this pencil completes their perfect pencil collection, which is worth millions of dollars. You only saw it as a pencil, but they saw it as a collective item to finish what they had collected. Are y'all seeing what I'm saying? It's often like that thing they said, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Well, the reason they say that is because what? You don't know what it is that that person cherishes or what that person likes or what that person takes in as beauty. Am I helping somebody this morning? All right. So now what we find is, well, so now they would swap, and he would continue to swap it. So now he got the gold pencil, and then he would take the gold pencil, and maybe he swap it for a lawnmower, because I like the gold pencil. I gave him a lawnmower. And then he'll take that lawnmower and he'll swap it for this and swap it for that, and he'll just keep going until he get whatever it is he wants. So if I were talking to Brother Alex, and he told me that he had to have some, he had to have two pair of Air Jordans, then I'm going to do what? I'm going to swap through things until I get to those two pair of Air Jordans, and now I'm going to bring those Air Jordans back to him, and now we're going to make eye exchange. Now, as you can imagine, that could get kind of difficult, especially when you need something done in a hurry. So what we did then is we came up with this form that we put it in coin form. This is why I cannot think of the name of them right now, but that little shell that you get off the coast of Africa, that the people wear around their necks and stuff, I can't think of it. Start with a C, I'm going to say. It's not a clam shell, but anyway, those little shells started out as the first form of money. Mm-hmm. So now they take these shells, and these shells are money. Why? Because they were hard to get, because they was in the bottom of the ocean, and you had to go scavenger for them. So anything that was rare, that means there was a whole bunch of them. So if it was not a bunch of them, then what? It added value to it, right? And since it added value, then that means that other people wanted them. Do you not know that your money only has the value that you put to it? Money is backed by faith. If you look on the back of your dollar right now, it'll say what? In God we trust. Why does it say in God we trust? Why? Because the money has to be what? It's put on the form of money. Why? Because it's based on faith. I kid you not. That money you have is based on faith. Because that dollar itself means really nothing. It's a promissory note. It's a promise. And if the United States government doesn't have the money, have the fortitude to back up that promise, then it's worthless. Yet we have young boys and sisters and brothers and all of them what killing themselves in the street for something overnight. And I'm going to tell you about that. That can be worthless. Some of us are losing our lives, we're losing our salvation, we're losing our health, we're losing our time, we're losing our strength over something in another country that's worthless. Think about that for a moment. This is why the Bible tells us we need it. Even Jesus told them to go over there, catch the fish. And you find the fish, there's going to be a coin in his mouth. And that coin in his mouth, what? There's going to be enough to pay my taxes and your taxes. So yes, we need it, but don't fall in love with it. It's a universal language. Because everybody needs money, but what form of money that they're willing to accept depends on where they are. So just because you're a millionaire in this country, you can go to a country, one of those backwoods, I ain't going to say backwoods country, but one of those little sort-of uncivilization countries somewhere in Africa or in the Brazil or in the Amazon bush, find out how much your money means over there. Nothing. Because they don't use it anyway. So we got to be careful, brothers and sisters, what we give our time to. That's why the Bible said this is pointless. Because you put all your time and your effort to get there, yes, get what you need, but all this other stuff, it's pointless. So what is it? So now money, so what they do is now they move from those coins. They needed to be transferable because the coins are what? Heavy. Have you ever had a bag of pennies? You know how heavy a bag of pennies is? That thing is, they really heavy. So now they had to come up with another form to be able to move it. And that's how we got to the present point of paper, because paper, what, is a little bit lighter. You can carry more paper around than you can anything else, right? So this is how we got to the form of paper we are right now. Now, brothers and sisters, we're on the verge of another change. We're about to start changing now from paper to a digital form of currency. Well, why is that? Well, some of you, like I told you, some of you all make hundreds of dollars an hour. I don't know about you. Have you seen a stack of $100 bills? Do you know how big that is? Do you know how much $1 million weighs? I think $1 million weighs almost like 25 or 26 pounds. So now if you, because we have more of it, remember in the beginning we didn't have a whole lot of it, so it didn't matter. But now you have more of it. So since you have more of it, what are you going to do with it? It has to change forms again. Am I making sense to anybody? So now it changes forms again to what now was going to be digital. And many of us walk around now, we have credit cards, right? And those credit cards are tied to a number of money that we never even really see. Think about that for a moment. We got money that you don't see. All I know is a number in my bank account that says what I do have. And if the institution that controls it decides to do something different tomorrow, then I would not have it anymore. We have individuals, you know, that what, they store money and they bury it in houses and all kinds of stuff in backyard, whatever. Like, that's going to mean something. But this is why the Bible reminds us that what, we are to put our faith in what? In Him. Because it's He that's going to direct our path. It's He that can save us and not we ourselves. I don't care how much money you got. Let civil war break out in this country. Soon we're going to take your dollar. It's not going to matter. They can delete all that stuff tomorrow. So what the Bible tells us to do? Build up what? Put our hope and our trust in the things that are what? Uncorruptible. You build your hope and trust with people. People. This thing is about people. It's about relationships with one and another. Because I might not have a dollar, but we have relationship, so I can do this and you can do that. And we have good faith in the sense that you're going to do what you said I want, you're going to do, and I'm going to do what I said I'm going to do. This is how we used to operate. We used to operate on a handshake because what? I needed what you had and you needed what I got. So therefore, what, I expect you to do what you said you want to do, and I do what I want to do. We didn't need all these contracts and stuff. So what, we lost integrity along the way. The Bible says again that what, we'll be leading down to sorrow. Money is a universal language. So now the four forms of money that you have commodities. Commodities are just goods, coffee, sodas, clothing, shoes, cotton, whatever. These are known as commodities, gasoline. Commodity, common, things that we need, that we constantly trade. You know, you can go to the store, and if they would take it, you can give them a pound of coffee, they might give you a gallon of gas. I remember as a youngster, when I used to work at Burger King back in the day, sometimes our manager would trade so many Whoppers for so many pizzas. They would do that because, you know, they could do that back then. Amen. So, you know, she might give them, they say they want 8 Whoppers, and they'll make us 3 pizzas. And we'll have pizza in the break room, and they have Whoppers. And we got tired of making Whoppers. And they got tired of making pizzas, so we will swap. Again, that's a form of trading a what? A commodity. Okay? The next thing you have is called a fiat, just like the car, fiat, F-I-A-T, fiat. What is a fiat? Fiat is the physical form of money. Fiat is those coins that you carry around. Fiat is that dollar you carry around, and it's only as good as what? The authority that backs it. Think about that for a moment. All this that we break our neck to do, it's only as good as the government stands on. If you've been paying attention to the news on Wednesday night, we did this thing called raise the debt ceiling. Oh, I just want to be real, y'all, because I want my people to, my Bible said, my people they perish for lack of knowledge. And this is biblical stuff, right? The Bible talks, I told you over 200 times about money. And I told you I'm going to ask you for none, so I hope that you're taking this in. So what it's only as good as the institution. And on Wednesday night, our institution decided they needed to make some more. So every time we need to make some more, you know what we do? We just go in there and say we made some more. And that's it. Think about it for a moment. That's the honest God truth. The debt ceiling is at whatever trillion. Uh-oh, we about to hit that. If we hit that mark, what happens is now we're not able to pay our bills. So now if we default on our bills, then that's a problem. So what do? We go in there and say, okay, let's make another trillion. And that's literally what we do. And you know what that is? That's not paper form. Somebody just go in there and say, bloop, done. Are y'all realizing these things? The Bible said we're living in the last days. And these are the last days. Right? The next part of money is called fiduciary. Fiduciary, that's F-I-D-U-C-I-A-R, fiduciary. You know what a fiduciary is? We used to use them all the time. It's a promissory note. It's a check. Do you not know when somebody writes you a check, they did not give you the money, but what they did is they said, based on this, my agreement with my institution. So banks are known as fiduciaries. What banks do is what? They provide the what? The backing, the authority to say, okay, based on this agreement, we're going to honor this certificate agreement. All it is a certificate. It's not money. It's an IOU. Think about that for a moment. A check is nothing but an IOU, because if you take it to the bank and they ain't got the money, then you don't get the money. Right or wrong. We have the things we call it a bounce and a check. Mm-hmm.
Now, what you find about it's interesting about the fiduciary banks is that the fiduciary bank, the fiduciary money only resides because you reside. If you do not take any of your fiat that you got from your commodities and place it in the fiduciary don't even exist. Do y'all see how this stuff is tied together? It's a universal language. Your commodities, so maybe this is what you do. You go ahead and you cut grass, or you go over here and you grow seeds, or whatever the case may be, and then somebody pays you fiat for that physical money. You take that physical money, you take it to the bank, and you deposit that money. And what does the bank do in turn? It takes your money and it loans it to Sister Ely. So when you come back, they don't even really have your money. They have a number in there that says that they have your money. You don't believe it? Let everybody run to the bank tomorrow and see what they do. They'll close their doors. They've done it before. When it was Y2K and we had some things going on, everybody was running to the bank to go get their money. And you know what? It almost collapsed the entire banking system. Because there's not enough physical money to go around. You see how you've been going to the stores and they said, well, you don't have any coins. Can you give us exact change? Because you got people what? Who are holding on to coins because, you know, they hold it for doomsday. Because their money, what? Their faith is in what? In that money. So they're holding on to those coins like they really going to be able to spend them. See what I'm saying? This is why, again, universal money, this is what the Bible's teaching us. Don't put our hope in that stuff, because when that blows away, when that system goes away, none of that matters. But what does matter is how we treat each other. What does matter is the relationships we build with our family and with our loved ones and those we go to church with and those who we're in connection with. That's what matters. Because when all this stuff blows away, when you're on your deathbed, when you are looking at, you know, going on to meet the Lord, and you want those around you, you ain't gonna be asking, bring in my truckload of money. Hopefully you're gonna want, you know, you got a daughter or a son there that you treat it well, that wanna be, you know, that's there with you. Hopefully you got a spouse that you treat it well, that's there with you. Or you're gonna die alone. And all your money that you're gonna just leave to somebody else. See, the Egyptians they told us that real good. Because the Egyptians in the afterlife, they believe that what? They're going and they're going to need these riches in the afterlife. So therefore, they got all these tomb stuff full of all this gold and stuff that's just going to sit there in the ground and continue to rot. And we have these people called tomb raiders that go in there and get it every now and then. Right? So people have been believing this stuff for eons. This has not changed. This is nothing new. We've always believed in the afterlife. We do believe that's life after death. That's called us going to heaven, being transformed into our heavenly bodies. But we also believe that what we don't need that stuff because what we in God's system. And when you're part of God's system, he said that his system is not our system. And we find ourselves what still chasing this money. The last piece of this money is commercial. Do you not know there's such a thing as commercial money? What is commercial money? Commercial money is the debt that's created by the banks by lending your money. So this is when you go to the bank and then, you know, you say, I need a loan for my house. Mm-hmm. And they give you the money. The banks just made a debt. They took money from Brother Jordan. They took money from Sister Taylor, they took money from Sister Pam, they collected all this money together and they gave it to you so you can go get whatever you need to go get. Okay? That's commercial money. It's not really their money. They let you have somebody else's money. And then what happens is now you go back and you go get some and they let you have somebody else's money. And therefore what they do is what? They manage this. They don't have any money of themselves. How many of y'all ever met those people who really don't have any talent or skills of themselves, but they use everybody else's stuff and they prosper? We see it all the time. It's nothing no different. The bank doesn't have any money of its own. In fact, they tell you, give me money for me keeping your money. Mm-hmm. Because if you got money in the account and you ain't checking it out every month, whatever they take, what, a dollar or two? Then you multiply that times millions and millions and millions of accounts. That $1 or $2 add up. And they do that every single month. And heaven forbid you do something wrong, like you don't, you know, pay a bill or something on time and they do what they bounce. Now they charge you, what, $45, $50, $60 sometimes? And then still want the money for the other part too. And yet, what did they do? Nothing but hold on to your money. Now, when you stop and think about it, what sense does that make? When you really stop and think about it, what sense does that make? I'm here to tell you that it doesn't make any sense at all. But yet what? We give our whole lives to it. Something that didn't make sense. When our Bible tells us what he said, cast your cares. He says it like this. I'm going to pick up that verse. Anyway, he says it like this. He says, and 1 Timothy, I read 1 Timothy. Oh, no. What was that? He says it like this in Matthew 6 and 20. I mean, and I want to go to 33. He said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. As I was telling you all on last week, there were some things I was doing at work because I'm in this new position that I don't know about. But you know what? Because I'm a God seeker, God sent people my way who did the things for me. You know, they call me AD now, right? They say, well, AD, you need this information? Yeah, I don't know. Don't worry about it, I got it. And they brought it to me. In some cases, they did the work. Do y'all not know that God says that when he put you in a place that he'll provide everything? You ain't got to know everything. You just got to know him. And some of you are in positions that God put you in that you know you didn't even qualify for on paper. But because you're God-fearing, what God has done is what he's insulated you. And he's brought people there to support you and to help you. So don't you get high and pompous thinking you've done something and thinking that you arrived. Because if he blows on you, oh, come on. This is why some of you suffer from the imposter syndrome. Because you feel like, Lord, at any moment in time, my covers won't be blown. And if my cover's blown, they might find out who I really am. But what I'm here to tell you today, that as long as you're with God, that God has you. He said, I'm going to order your steps. And this is why we're connected with him. So he orders our steps. And as he orders our steps, I'm realizing, say, Lord, I'm not sure about this, but Lord, you said you got me. Lord, you said you wouldn't put no more on me than I can bear. Lord, you said that we'll be more than conquerors through Christ Jesus that strengthens us. Oh God, that I trust you, Lord Jesus, that I know you told me not to give food or raiment, Lord. I don't have to give myself over and lose my integrity because I know at the end of the day that you got me anyway. And because you got me, Lord, you're going to find a way of escape. You're going to make a way out of no way. You're going to turn a door open. You're going to close a window, Lord. You're going to allow somebody else to move or be moved or whatever the case may be. I trust you. Don't put our stuff in. He said, don't put your hope into these chariots. Chariots are old school cars, by the way. Right? He said, don't put your faith into that, but put your faith in stuff that's incorruptible. Because that moth will eat the money. It's a cloth. And moths eat cloth. Leave it in the wrong place long enough. Bacteria eat it. Mm-hmm. Y'all know what what they say rot is? Rot is actually a living organism. It eats. It actually eats the wood. That's why the wood doesn't last. It gets in there, it grows, and it eats, just like a little termite. It just doesn't do it as fast. They can prove it to you. They got things over in, I think, Antarctica that rot can't live. It's too cold. That looks exactly like the day they put it in there 200 or 300 years ago. Kid you not, look it up. So as I go in closing, I'm not gonna keep you any longer today because I was a little late myself today, but money is a universal language. We have to be careful, brothers and sisters, that we use money and not money use us. That God has given us these things as resources. Yes, we need them. Yes, we need things we need to do. There's things that I cannot do that I need somebody else to do for me. So therefore, he gave me a little bit. But what money only has the power, we give it. So that's why it's what the universal language. So we all have decided, we all have agreed that this money is it. This dollar is it. I'm willing to accept that. You're willing to accept that. And it only has power because we have agreed. What if we all got on the same kind of accord about Jesus like that? Every time I notice in the Bible, when they got all on one accord, as Brother Gabe starts to play softly, I notice every time in the Bible, when they all got on one accord like that, things happen. The Bible said that if my people who call by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their evil ways, then will they hear from heaven, then will I forgive their sins, and then will I heal their land. The Bible says in Acts 2:38 that they were all in one room on one accord, and there came into the wind like a wind, like a mighty rushing wind, and everybody in the house was filled. One accord. The Bible tells me that what a three-chord rope is not easily broken. because it's bound together, and that and because it's bound together, that it shares the strength and the tension is equally balanced on it, so you don't still break it. All these things he's reminding us. So brothers and sisters, and I, as I tell myself, yes, having things are nice, but don't let things have you. Let us not lose focus of what's important. Yes, I like to go out to the finest restaurants. I like nice things and all this stuff. But remember, if it's going to cost you something else, is it worth it? If it's going to cost you your relationship with your children, if it's going to cost you your relationship with your wife or with your loved ones, all these things that really do matter. Because the world that's around us tells us get money or get rich or die trying. They make movies about it. They make songs about it. Money over everything and all this kind of stuff. And that's all they say they, this. You see them in music videos, they're throwing it in the sky, all this kind of stuff. You know, people do any and everything for it. They will kill their own mom and dad for it. But he's reminding us, at the end of the day, it ain't worth it. So as much as I like this and I like that, have it. Because the Bible said he that is rich is generous anyway. But he's as rich, he has many friends. Because there are some places that I've gone in this life, and I'm sure some of you have, where my money and my status meant nothing. But relationship meant everything. There are certain clubs and organizations in this world, they don't want your money because they all got money. Mm-hmm. Y'all know what I'm talking about. They don't care about money. But you got to have a relationship to be even invited to be a member. There are certain clubs and certain things. It's relationship. And I'm here to tell you today, you cannot buy your way to heaven. There was a rich man who asked God, you know, basically, how much can I pay for my to be able to buy my way to heaven? And God told him, well, if you really want to go, what you need to do is sell everything and give it all to the poor. And we don't hear from him never again, do we? So I'm not suggesting that you live like a hermit or a crab, but what I am suggesting is have balance. And I'm talking to myself, that we all seek balance. And it's hard, especially for men, you know, because we want our families and we have visions with our families and things we want. But I also find, and I'm learning, that the more I trust God, the more things are just kind of open up. The less I've done on certain things, the more he's done. Things that I was seeking, I didn't have to seek. They started to find me. The Bible says it like this. It says that your blessings shall what? Run you down and overtake you. So what I'm learning is, I don't even have to seek opportunities. All I gotta do is be doing what I'm supposed to be doing. He says it like this, he said, be ye occupied until I come. So as long as I'm being occupied and I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, then what? There's somebody that tapped me on the shoulder and said, well, we've been considering. We've been noticing. And I know some of you in a place, you're like, Lord, I've been doing. And it seems, well, I asked you, check your attitude. You might have been doing the work, but how were you doing the work? We talked about a couple of months ago, positive mental attitude, right? And I'm not saying that like be all new agey and all this stuff, but it does matter. You can buy me a meal and say, here you go. Or you can buy me a meal and say, here you go. Same words, different attitude. Same sacrifice, different attitude. God's been working on me. He's been working on me, and I hope my wife can see some of that. He's been working on me. I've learned my tone matters. You know, sometimes I'm like, but I did the work, so why doesn't it matter? I did the work. But how did you do the work? And the Bible makes reference to this. He said what? That he loves a cheerful giver. He didn't say just a giver. He said a cheerful giver. Think about that for a moment. If it was just giving, it could just be giving, but it's not even just my gift, it's my attitude in the gift. Last point, and I'm going to be quiet. Remember the story, the first stories in the Bible with Cain and Abel. And they were bringing sacrifices unto God. And Cain's sacrifice was not honored. And Abel's sacrifice was honored. And I often ask myself, why did God accept one sacrifice and not the other? And when you look at it, it came down to attitude. They both sacrificed. And many of you are sacrificing tremendously. And this is why you said, oh, Lord, I've been giving, I've been doing, I've been going. And you feel like you're not making headway. But ask yourself, in what spirit am I doing this? Am I doing this to be seen? Am I doing this to be heard? Or am I doing this unto God? My wife often reminds me, and sometimes, you know, as a husband, you know, that's my wife, and, you know, it's my job to care for her and to look out for her. So sometimes when I see things that I think she's being mistreated, I tell her, I said, why don't you step up? Why don't you let them treat you that way? And she reminds me, she said, but Peter, I just do it as I've been doing it unto God. Now, you know, of course, the man in me wants to get mad at that statement. I do. Because I'm like, no, you my wife, and you shouldn't be treated this way. But at the same time, I'm reminded that God sees all, he knows all, and in due season, we shall weep, we faint not. When you stand on your feet, hallelujah. I hope that this word has been a blessing to you on today as we go here and we prepare to close. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm going to pray.